You ever wish you could record your drunk conversations? Well, that's what I do on the Intoxicated Podcast. Every Friday, I talk to friends, comedians, and various guests while drinking to showcase the conversations you'd only have at the back booth of a bar with close friends. It's a weekly drunk, heart-to-heart variety talk show and therapy session. Subscribe to the Intoxicated Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. That's Intoxicated, spelled T-A-L-K. Cheers.
This program contains strong language. Viewer discretion is advised.
It's us!
Hi!
Hello.
Sorry, that was really loud.
So this hello. How are
hello.
You?
Hello. Oh, so good. Thank you for asking.
Yes, this is good. Yes. This is not the parenting podcast as you know it. This is The Only Dirty Table. It is a side podcast, and it is a bonus for people who are Patreon listeners. However, this is week one. Yay! So the preview is for everybody. Everybody gets to listen, and we're going to talk about the service industry and tell stories from our experiences. And some of them will be delightful, lovely stories about humans being amazing. But most of them will be nightmares. So
that's most of mine.
Yeah. A lot of it is nightmarish in a lot of ways.
Those are the
ways.
Ones you really remember.
They're...
Uh-huh. So welcome. This is hello to everyone, because everyone gets to see this one. So if you like what you see, get on over the Patreon-y.
Yep, we would definitely welcome that. We have a Facebook page, so facebook.com/parenting. We have Twitter, at parentingpod. We have Instagram, at parentingpodcast. Why be consistent? Fuck that noise. Then we have Snapchat. Somehow.
Still haven't figured that out.
We have one. Subscribe, like us, whatever the fuck it's called. Add us on Snapchat. Whatever.
Killing it. You're killing it.
Just, oh, love it. We also have a YouTube channel. Please go subscribe to that.
Oh, yes, please.
We also are this podcast, the actual podcast, is available everywhere that podcasts are found. So iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, we run the gamut. If you want to know where exactly, like, our podcasts are, like, the link directly, go to anchor.fm/parenting, and there's a listen out, like, everywhere, and it'll take you to wherever you want to listen to your podcast, right?
You can find us.
It'll be a direct link, so do that. That said, let's jump to it, shall we?
We shall
indeed.
It's been a minute since I've been in the industry. I feel like, I don't know, because I, as I said, retired last April. So April 2018.
Yeah.
I officially stopped serving.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah. So I do have, you know, a plethora of, I guess, things that happened over 12 years or so that I was there. And I only ever worked at the one place, too. So... I only ever served at one restaurant.
Was that Wranglers?
It was Wranglers, and then it changed its name to Lefties.
Okay. Yeah, but it was Wranglers.
Yeah, when I first started there, it was Wranglers Roadhouse.
Okay, yeah, I'm old, so that's...
So am I, apparently. I worked there.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
So
you were working this evening, were you not?
I work today, yeah. I work in a casual fine dining restaurant.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a different story.
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole new category for problem guests, however. Because people who, how to word this properly, people who go to fine dining restaurants on the regular basis, as in people who have money,
money. Yeah.
And know it. Mm-hmm. And think that I'm a piece of shit because this is my job. Mm-hmm. Are now my new least favorite people. Uh-huh. You know, you get those people who are like, well, I'm a lawyer and I make whatever the fuck. Like, my base rate of salary is like 70 grand or some shit like that. And I'm just like, okay. As a server,
my favorite was.
I should be like on a good year serving in my better years and working in specific places. I've made up to 60 grand a year.
Yeah. Oh, like
cleared 60 grand. Mm-hmm. So we're talking like 90, 100 grand before taxing and all that kind of crap.
Yep.
But
that's why people do it.
Yeah, that is why people do it. The $100,000 a year server is not a fucking myth.
No.
Now, in the U.S., it's very different because a lot of states have a thing called a service wage, which is like $2 or $3 an hour. And they rely almost entirely on tips and gratuities. But in Canada, like minimum wage is minimum wage. Like you get paid minimum wage.
Yeah.
Right. Which in a lot of provinces, like right here it's $11.60 or $11.65. I honestly don't even know what it is.
It's around there.
Yeah. Like you're getting your base rate anyway. So days like yesterday where because of the way, like, we're in the middle of the polar vortex and and I literally had zero guests walk through the door yesterday. First time since we opened in September, zero guests between the terrible road conditions and the minus 30 temperature and this and that and the other thing. Not one guest. Like, I opened the bar and then I deep cleaned all the things in the bar. There was not a single person that came through.
Wow.
It was nuts. So
that's crazy.
That happened today or yesterday. Today I was pretty busy. So you never fucking know. People get you can be not busy. And the next day is the exact same weather. All the conditions are identical, but you're crazy off your feet because people are like, well, I was going shack wacky at home. I had to fucking leave the house.
Exactly. So, I always found that we were more busy in the shit weather. So like I'd be sitting there, you know, it would be dead because, you know, we always had that. I would do a 12 to 8 shift or something. Or sometimes it would be like open to close depending on the day. So, but you'd be there during the kind of early lunchtime rush. And then anywhere usually between 2:30 or 3 o'clock and like 4:30 was like the slow time. So that's where you get everything prepped for the night. That's when you get stuff cleaned, all of those fun things.
Yeah, wash all your glassware, reset all the tables, roll as much cutlery as you can.
There's just, you know, time for that shit. And then, and then it would be, say, during that slow time, it would be, you know, weather got really bad. I'm like, holy fuck. Like, this was when I was actually not living out here because Lefties is actually in Tantallon. I was living in the city at the time. So I was traveling from the city in here and home. And I was like,
I wonder how you met Ronnie.
At the bar. That's where everyone meets the love of their life, right? Is that what that, right?
That's
the bar.
That's where I met my baby's mama.
Yeah, it's an industry thing, right?
Well, it's like when I lived there, I was there more than I was home.
Yeah, totally.
There, like, how many days at the Oasis did I go in at 9:30, do all the prep stuff, open the doors at 10 o'clock, right? So the people could come play the VLTs and gamble all day. And then at 5 o'clock, instead of going home, I switched from being a manager to being behind the bar and working until 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Get the fuck out of here. Like, and people are like, oh, servers are just too lazy to find a real job. Get the fuck out of here with that attitude. Get
me started. Yeah. I guess the whole point that I was making with the weather thing is that I found it would be times where it seemed like it was going to be slow. And then all of a sudden, even though it's shit weather, all these fucking people start piling in the door. We're like, I'm getting ready to close the fuck up. What are you guys doing? I need to get my ass home. Like, I'm never getting home if you assholes keep coming in here and I got to feed your ass.
Yeah.
And it happened on more times than I can count, or especially around here, there's certain grids of power or whatever. And like, if the power went out, we would, as soon as we heard that there was a power outage, our phone would be ringing constantly. Do you guys have power? Do you guys have power? Do you guys have power? I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I just let two of our girls go home.
You're about to get screwed. Yeah.
Yeah, I just let two of my girls go home and it's just me. Fuck.
Oh, man. One of my favorite memories was I was working at the Oasis in downtown Halifax. And it was the snowpocalypse, the first one that we had.
Uh-huh.
When we started, like, because we have blizzards every year, over and over and over. But it was the first time where Twitter was kind of a big deal for right. more than just, like, stars and politicians. Like, everybody kind of had Twitter. Right. And so the whole hashtag snowpocalypse, right, was a thing. And mm-hmm. and so we as a bar had a Twitter account. We were tweeting out like, hey, come visit us. We're open. We still have power. And we kept updating like our website and the Twitter feed with like whether we were open or not based on whether we have power or not. And so
right.
we kept doing that. And the other people kept coming over and tweeting us, sorry, not coming over, but the other restaurants were tweeting us like, hey, we're open too, yeah. What are you guys doing? Like, 'cause like bars that are across the street and stuff, like our competition, but like in Nova Scotia, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
You know, there's more bars per capita in Halifax, Nova Scotia than anywhere else in North America. And so, Halifax, I think, trades off with this other place. I think that's in BC. But I think it's because their population booms and drops and booms and drops. It's like they have seasonal work wherever that is.
Okay, yeah.
So Halifax is like, it's a pretty stable population. Mm-hmm. So, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, these other restaurants started tweeting with us and we were tweeting back and forth and people were just tweeting in going like, this conversation between these two restaurants is the best thing that's happened this entire snowpocalypse. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
And that was also like, that was the first year where storm chips became a thing.
Oh yes.
Like hashtag storm chips. That was that year that, because Twitter again was really just starting to be widely, widely used for everybody, regardless of, you know, internet usage or whatever. Everybody has Twitter.
Yeah.
Cause smartphones were being more and more accepted. I remember at the time I had an iPhone 4
mm-hmm.
at that point. That's how long ago it was.
I started with.
Yeah, well, I had a 3G. Oh, I got 3G.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question just because you said phones. Just because one of the biggest things about when I was serving over the past couple of years was our servers keeping their cell phones on them. So that was a tricky one for me because I was like part manager and you can't be distracted and I never had my phone in my apron ever the entire time I worked there. So because for me, I don't need it. If I need to get a hold of somebody, I'll do it on my break, or if there's an emergency, someone will fucking call me kind of thing, right? They know where I work. But anyway, that was a big thing. So I didn't like the girls having their phones in their aprons. I also didn't like that they had them back behind the server station plugged in and charging and sitting on the counter. And I said, you guys shouldn't leave your shit there because what if someone spills something, a water, a coffee or whatever, and your phone gets fucked and then you're pissed. Like, why do we need to have it? So like, do you carry your phone, or do the people you work with carry their phone on them while they serve?
I 100% carry my phone on me. Always. Okay. But the only time I break it out when I'm working is somebody's like, I would like this kind of cocktail, where they went to some bar in Jamaica one time and some guy, like, they wouldn't leave the guy alone, and he made up a cocktail, and he named it whatever the fuck he named it. And I'm, like, trying to Google this shit. I'm like, this is not a real cocktail. This person is a fucking asshole. So,
yeah,
like, that's the kind of shit.
I can see that as a bartender, yeah.
You know, and I'm all about learning new cocktails, 100%. I want to learn all the cocktails. I love making them. Definitely love drinking them. But...
Amen.
I don't know. It's just, I always have my phone on me, but I also I almost always have my smartwatch on. So like I get a buzz and I can look and go, not important.
Right.
I don't need to pull my phone out almost ever.
Yeah. I just one of those things.
But as the guy who also does all of the openings 4 days out of the five in a week, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, I do all the prep work and all that kind of crap. I tend to keep my phone on me and I take pictures of stuff like, hey, guys, this is unacceptable. This is going to cause problems. This is either going to bring fruit flies or we're feeding rats or like we're enticing pests to come eat here. Where
that's fair.
That's never a thing. So like I always take pictures and I put them in our like bartender chat or server chat or whichever it pertains to, you know. So I.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's okay. That's a good idea.
Yeah. We have a policy at work. Do not carry your phone on you. But my owner works with me every day and mm-hmm. he does not care because I don't use it unless it makes sense.
You're not abusing it, basically. You're not just on your phone texting whoever.
Exactly. And because when I open the restaurant every day, I'm by myself.
Right.
Right. So there are no servers when I open.
Right.
It's just me. I'm the bartender. I'm the server. I'm everything.
Yeah.
I'm the runner, expo, host, everything. I'm doing the whole,
gamut. You're the show.
I am the show.
Yeah.
And so, it's a little different for me than mm-hmm. it is with all the other younger servers that come in when, one, it's chaos in there. There's, I don't know how many other servers running around half the time, things like that. And if you need to communicate something, there's a manager there.
Yeah.
I'd say 50% of the time or more, I'm alone on the floor because my manager's upstairs doing paperwork or, you know, he's in the back organizing stock product, whatever. So like it's different for me mm-hmm. than it is for any of the other staff there, just because situationally it isn't apples and apples, right? Mm-hmm. So
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Was just curious. Just needed to know.
Yeah. So it is tricky. I have actually slapped the phone out of a girl's hand when we're in the middle of a rush and her section is like asking me for things and I go in the servery and she's like on her phone. I've been like, mm-hmm. your table 76 wants something. You need to go there right now. Like the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah. There used to be some people that I would work with that I would do, like sometimes it would happen. Like I'm walking by their tables or whatever. And you know, and a lot of tables would just be like, hey, sorry, I know you're not my server, but, and then ask for something or whatever, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't get that either. But anyway, side note, that's
no, exactly. But there's either two sides to that. So I would either get the other server, I would be like, oh, hey, table 34, just asked for ketchup. Do you have time to run that up? And then sometimes it would be like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Or it would be, why can't you just do it? I'm like, because it's not my fucking table. Like, your table, who I'm not getting the tip from, is asking me for something. I came back. Because sometimes I have done it. Sometimes if they're like, hey, like we just need ketchup at our table, I'll go because there's a couple other stations. And if I'm right by that one, I'll just go grab it and bring it to the
sometimes
table.
Sometimes it's not just easier to do it.
Yeah, but, and that's fine. Like,
and
you can
team
do that.
Mentality. I'm all about the team mentality. But
of course.
My problem comes, like, because here's the thing. Somebody not in my section asks me for help, and if I help them right away, that helps the whole team. Let's say they come back next time and they are in my section.
Yeah.
Right? The whole point is to get them to come mm-hmm. again. And that's the thing that mm-hmm. people fall down on. You know? So.
No, I agree. And that was always, that's always one of my biggest things is that the customers coming in is how you're making money. So if you're pissing people off or, you know, whatever, like they're not going to want to come back. So they can clearly see that I shouldn't say clearly see. Some people have like some client customers that come in, doesn't matter how busy you are, they don't get it. It's like, I'm sorry. Like, I know you can't see that I have 10 tables on the go right now and I am doing my best.
Yeah.
However,
I'm just trying to hold this shit together right now.
Yeah. So. I'm trying not to cry. So if we could just move this along.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So we had a rule on Thursday nights at Oasis because Oasis Thursday nights wing night. Some nights were pretty busy, but we usually only had one, two servers on. But Thursdays was insanity. Mm-hmm. So we had, there were more girls that worked one night a week than girls that had multiple shifts a week, because how busy it was that one night. We needed more servers that night than we did for the rest of the entire week.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, but wing night is a nightmare, and I'm sure it's still super busy there on Thursdays for wing night. But
yeah,
because they've been building that wing night's been going for a lot. Like when I turned 19, we went there Thursday night for karaoke and wings.
Whoa.
When I turned 19, and it had all that was an established thing well before that.
Yeah.
So it's been going, and I'm 36 now, just for reference sake. Right. Yeah. So that was 17 years ago.
And it's still then some. Kicking.
And it's still a thing.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. But we had a rule, especially for the new girls when coming in. We're like, listen, no crying on wing night. Okay. No crying on wing night. When we hired them, they were like, what? And
but you'll understand.
75% of the time, they're just like this guy yelled at me. They're in the kitchen just crying, and we're just like, take a minute, have a seat. Can you handle that? Cool. Thank you. You just pick yourself up when you figure it out. We did warn you. Yeah. We're really sorry. You know,
yeah, take a couple deep breaths.
You can only train somebody for so long before you leave them alone in a section. And you give them a small enough section that you're like, this should work for you.
Yeah.
If this
you should be able to handle this.
If this doesn't work for you, I can't help you.
This industry is probably not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah.
So
there are some people. There are some people that I've seen in the industry that really should not be there. And it's very painfully obvious that they don't even really want to be there. So
well, there's some that want to be there that just fucking suck. So
they just suck at it.
There was a girl I fired. Because I was the general manager at Oasis. And I fired a girl because she just couldn't keep up. Like, she just couldn't. Nothing but complaints about her service. And she was, like, very sweet, but pretty fucking dumb. And, like, she was very nice. But she just, she wasn't getting it. And she was there for almost four months because there's not that many shifts. She's like, and she was working some slower shifts and people really did like her. But anytime we had any kind of actual rush, she was lost. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is the good of having her? Like, she's great when it's slow and she can talk to the guests and the guests like her. But as soon as there's any kind of like urgency to what's going on, she's fucking useless. And so when I was letting her go, having a conversation, and you always pull us, because with guys and girls, this was way before the Me Too movement, but guys and girls, like, never go into a locked room with a girl by yourself, especially if you're letting them go from a job. So pulled her aside and was like, listen, we're letting you go. Here's the deal, da da da, and she actually asked me the question, is there, like, what is it I could do to do better? Like, how can I be a better server? Like, what should I do? And I was like, don't.
Oh,
like,
no.
You have other passions that are not this. Please pursue those, because you are not made for this. Like, we have given you X amount of training, and I've reminded you of these other things like 6, 7, 8 times. You're just not getting it. So just don't be a server.
Just some people just aren't meant for the industry though. Like, it's, if you know what, I applaud anyone who goes into the industry and at least gives it a shot. You know, if you can put your best foot forward and really try, and again, you're like, this isn't for me.
She was very kind. She was a very nice person.
Yeah.
But she just was not, she just wasn't built. She wasn't built for the service industry.
Was that a soda you just opened?
What's that?
Is that a soda you just opened?
It was not. It is a Keith's. But I put it in a koozie because I wasn't sure how long we'd be sitting here, so I didn't want it to get all warm on me.
Fair. Okay, so is there something that happened recently, something like kind of shitty, like a customer, like a, a I don't know, an issue with the customer that happened recently that kind of pissed you off.
Yeah, I had a guy, okay, I work in a steakhouse now. Right. And some guy showed up and just seemed like he was in a shitty mood to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And
love
this,
those.
This guy wasn't my table, but he was section adjacent.
Okay.
So, like, next section over. Anyway, he just, the whole, like, their vibe, him and it, he was there with a woman. I don't know if it was a date or, I don't know. It was, they had a weird energy and they were just not, you know, when you see somebody come through the door and you're like, they're going to complain about everything.
Yep.
You just know when they walk in the door and it's nothing.
They're there to have a bad time.
Yeah. You didn't come to have a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the steaks come out. One was a 7-ounce filet mignon. One was a 8-ounce top sirloin cut. And we have stones, right? So we sear the top and the bottom. It goes out. There's no loss of mass. So 7 ounces is actually 7 ounces. But they got grilled steaks because they wouldn't even fucking buy into what we were doing. Like, what makes our restaurant unique is these stone steaks. 550 degrees. They come out of the oven. They go on the board. We put the steak on top, sear the top, sear the bottom, and they go out to the table on this stone. They would not buy into that. They wanted the grilled steaks. Fine. All
right.
Fine. First of all, it's going to take longer. We give them the warning because we have thick steaks because thin steaks on those stones burn.
Right.
Like they cook right through and then everybody gets a well-done steak. Nobody gets, you can't get a rare steak.
It's well done or nothing.
Yeah. It's well done or get the fuck out.
Or blue rare. Yeah. Just slap it on the plate.
Yeah. Throw it on a piece of, anyway. But so because we have those cuts of meat, the only two that we will grill is the 7-ounce filet and the 8-ounce top sirloin because they're small enough that we can cook them properly.
Right.
The other ones, like the 10-ounce Cali cut New York strip loin, is thick. Like it's like almost like a baseball cut. We have the 12-ounce ribeye that's pretty fucking thick, right? But anyway. Neither here nor there. They will not buy into the system. They're just no from the get-go. I don't want to cook my own fucking food. Like, that's not the point. That's not at all. That's super overstated. You eat it like any other fucking steak anywhere else that you would ever go. But if you don't like it rare, you just, after you cut that bite off, you're about to put in your mouth, you just sear it on a stone for 5 seconds each side. Look, medium rare, you fucking idiot. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Fuck, I could just, sideways. But anyway,
yes.
He finally, like, the steaks show up to the table, and he gets my owner to come over to the table and demands a scale. You're ripping me the fuck off. This is not 7 ounces. It's like, well, it's that we take a 7-ounce steak, and you wanted us to cook it. Pardon me, guys. You wanted us to cook it, so we took it. We cooked it. It's super, like, you cut it open, it's going to be super juicy inside. It's like, I'm not cutting into that. You're ripping me off. I bring a scale. You bring a scale to me. I want to know how much this weighs. And he's like, listen, sir, I'm not going to bring a scale to you. If you don't want the steak, that's fine. I'll take it off your bill. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Not a problem. So he took the two, and she was being a cunt about it too. Pardon the language. But he took both steaks and he's like, I'll take them off your bill. No problem. Walked away. And because he didn't want anything else, he's like, well, if you don't want these steaks, that's not a problem. We'll just take them. But the guy, he was such a fucking dickhead that he straight up just didn't eat. Like, he showed up at the restaurant, ordered, waited the 25 minutes it took to cook, to properly cook these steaks, because you have to sear the tops and we have to put them in the oven.
So did either
for
of them eat anything? Like, did they just order them and say, no, we don't want this, and then leave?
Yeah, and they had like two drinks and they were like, he was pissed off because he's like, well, I can't eat anything here. I'm not paying for these drinks. He's like, well, you drank the drinks, so here's your bill.
So you're paying for them.
Here's your bill.
Good try, though.
So that, like, people like that fucking ruin everything. Like, those people leave the house going, how can we ruin something today? Let's go and here's our plan of attack.
Yeah.
You know? Fuck yeah. those people. Fuck those people. I fucking hate those people.
I know. Sorry. I hear you. I've definitely been there. Or I love it when couples come in who were fighting pre coming into the restaurant.
Yeah.
Those are the best ones.
And you can tell when you come to the table, you're like, hi, I'm Adam. I'll be your server today. Just want to let you know about the specials. And you just get that blank, angry yeah. stare back. And you're just yeah. like, can I grab either of you a beverage?
Yeah. I've had the ones where
so
like
this
the couples...
weird silence part is where you talk. Just so you know.
Yeah. When I ask a question, I need to know the answer because that's what I do. You say things, I bring it.
I'm a human. You should acknowledge me. Yeah. I spoke to you. Now this is your time to respond.
That's a big thing. That's a big thing that happened to me a few times, and it took me a few years to learn it. But it's the not taking shit from certain people and not being an asshole about it, but just almost equally being kind of on their level. But it's been happened on many, many occasions where I would go up to a table, especially in big groups, right? Big groups, it happens more often, but like even tables of like four, like a four top. So I'd go over and be like, hey, how's everyone doing this evening? Can I get you guys started with some drinks? And not one person looks up or acknowledges me at all. So my early years, I would say it again and be like, hi, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but would you guys like to have a beverage? Whatever, whatever. I would do that. Years down the road, I approach a table like that, say, hi, how are you folks doing this evening? Can I get you all started off with a drink? And if not one person answered me, I'd fucking leave. And then I'd maybe wait about 10 minutes and then go back to the table and be like, hi, folks, how are we doing this evening? Can I get you something to drink? And they're like, we've been here for 15 minutes. I'm like, oh, well, when I was here 10 minutes ago, I asked if you guys wanted anything and no one acknowledged me. So I figured you just wanted to get settled and have a little chit chat before you ordered anything. And it shuts them the fuck up because they knew that I was there. They were being assholes about it. And I called them out on it. And voila, would you like a fucking drink?
Yeah, I fucking hate that. And so like two Saturdays ago, I was working and there was this four top sat and I walk up and I'm like the whole thing like, hi, my name's Adam. I'll be your server tonight. First of all, have you been here before? All of them just like look at each other and then they just look at me and I'm like, is that a no? Is that like, is it no?
Do you want me to guess?
Then eventually one guy's like, none of us have been here before. This is our first time. And I'm like, okay, great, great. Excellent. Have you heard about our stone steaks? More just staring at each other. And I'm just like, you don't have to look at them like that. Did you? You're a human. You have a brain. Have you heard about our steaks? Like, just shit. Give me a nod. Give me a head shake. Give me like fucking something. Look at me. Don't look at them. I'm asking you a question.
Yeah.
It's a pretty basic fucking question. Oh, yeah. Man, I just want to go through the fucking wall at those people.
Yeah, it's the being ignored at a table or them not acknowledging what you say. Like one of the biggest things that always was kind of a thing between the girls is that I worked with, it would always be, we would have a joke just basically, hi, how are you guys doing this evening? And then it was like, hey, how's everyone doing? And they'd be like, Diet Coke. Like, great, I'm glad you're doing a Diet Coke. Can I get you anything to drink? Like, I there's just people that don't acknowledge that I'm an actual person and yeah. actually, you know,
hey know guys, Sundays, welcome to water.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, okay, cool. We're not friends. That's fine. We don't have to be friends. Just thought I'd ask how your day is going. I'll go fuck off and get your fucking Diet Coke.
Yeah. Fuck me, I guess.
Yeah. I'll just go fuck myself and have a great evening.
Fucking yeah. shoot me. Oh, man. Some people just have no concept of what, like, so sometimes, like, when I ask that, like, have you been here before? And you get nothing back. And you're like, have you left the house before? Like, do you know how to interact with human beings?
Do you know where
you
are right now?
Yeah. did you come here on purpose? Like, blink twice if you want me to call the police. Like, what the fuck's wrong with
you? This is a restaurant.
Yeah. Are you here against your will? Did you, like...
Yeah.
You know, like, fuck.
I know. No, I know. It's just some people just don't get out enough to know how to maybe socialize. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It just, it happens not all the time, but every now and then it will happen. And it's kind of one of those, I don't know. I think just you learn to deal with it in such different ways as the years go on. So, you know, early years or early months of training and stuff, you're going to get flustered. You're going to get emotional because, you know, things get stressful and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then, you know, eventually down the road, you're just like, things that would normally bother you just don't bother you anymore. Like people being an asshole. Like, I think I was really good at that at the end, like not being a dick to people, but I was just didn't take shit from people either. So
yeah, you develop a pretty thick skin pretty quickly if you're in the industry for any amount of time.
Yeah, you have to, for sure.
Yeah, like and of course, here the opposite side of that is, I mean, for those watching the video portion of this, look at my face. I have to have extra charisma and extra personality with my tables because I mean, sexist and shallow as it may seem, the world reacts to people based on their looks first because that's the first thing you see about a person.
Yeah.
Right? So, oh, pretty girl approaching. Let's chat her up. Oh, awkward fucking ginger bearded weirdo coming. The fuck is about to happen? I don't know. And so I don't have to do my job properly, but I choose to. I also have a big personality.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's totally just you, though. You're very much an outgoing
person.
But
why did I develop that personality?
Yeah.
Because my face wasn't doing it for me. You know? Like, you know, that joke, like, that dude is like, he can bang any chick he wants. He'll never know what a personality feels like. Like, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. Listen, on a good day, I'm a 7.5. And I get it. I get it. And I live there. And it's cool. No, I'm okay with that. I'm very self-aware that way. But when I go to a table, I have to be that extra outgoing this, that, and the other thing. But if you... So because I am that, when I get nothing back, I just drop my energy to their level. But if you get, like, negativity back, oh, you're getting some sass headed your way.
That's exactly it. It's almost like you're not being an asshole back to them. You're just being very witty almost. Like you're sass, but witty, but also not being a complete outward dick. And you're just kind of like undermining things that they say or do. And yeah. It kind of like gives you a sense of satisfaction. It's like, you know what? It's like the people going out to have a bad time. That's what they came for. It's like, and I'm not giving it to you. That's most of it. Most of it, I would be like, I'm going to fucking schmooze the pants off of you assholes, be the most fantastic person that I can be, and if you're still a dick by the time you leave here, then that's fine, I did my job. But there are other days where you're like, fucking get out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, yeah. I'm not in the mood for this today.
Yeah, just the fucking attitude that some people bring into a restaurant. I'm like, why, if you felt this way, why did you go out in public? Like, yeah. Why are you where other people are if you're in this mood? Why are you trying to kill my buzz and everyone at your table seems to be okay? You're a fucking asshole, though. What's your deal?
Yeah. That's when it comes back to the couple that are fighting before they go out and then come out to a restaurant. Don't fucking do that. Please don't do that. Nobody cares about your relationship problems. Like, if you want to come out and just,
going
like...
Going for dinner is not going to fix your fucking relationship.
No.
How about you have a conversation?
As soon as you get to that table, I know that you're fighting. Like, you can clearly tell there's so much tension there. And there's the, you know, I go to the table. It's like, you know, would you guys like to start with an appetizer? And then they ask each other, do you want to have an appetizer? Well, I don't know. I don't care. I'm like, holy mother fuck. Like, yeah. Well, I'll let you two children work it out.
Why don't you order the steak? It comes with a knife that you can cut this tension with.
Oh, man. I love that. And there was a time that I actually had a couple that were fighting and they had ordered their food. And then by the time I got back to the table just with their drinks, she asked me to put hers in a to-go. She's like, yeah, can I get mine to-go, please?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you guys are destined for marriage.
Yes. No, love this. Yeah. Please, next time you have a fight, please come out to the restaurant because we... Love that. It's not awkward at all for anybody.
Yeah. You're not making anyone here uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Love that.
No, fuck all of that. You know what drives me nuts?
What really grinds your gears?
People who are those people who are like, I refuse to tip at a restaurant because it's expected. I'm like, well, that's fine. But what people don't understand is tip out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People don't get it. And I'm going to break it down in the most basic way I can for the people listening. If you don't know what tip out is, first of all, you probably didn't subscribe to this podcast to begin with. But secondly, it's I'm surprised sometimes people who don't know, like people are like, I always tip 15% because blah, 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 blah. And I don't tip more. I don't tip less. I'm like, fine, that's cool. No, like,
yeah,
no, the server is not entitled to a tip. But here's the problem in our country, being Canada. We have this thing called tip out, which means you order your food, you order your drinks, whatever. Let's say that bill, for just the ease of the math of it, comes to $100. Okay? You tip nothing. $0. That server still owes, I'm going to use not the restaurant I work at because the tip out is pretty fucked up there. I'm going to use what the most standard practice is, which is 4% of the sales to the back of house.
And food sales?
No, just sales.
Okay.
To the house. 2% of total sales to the bar. Okay?
Okay.
So 6% off the top.
Yeah.
Right? That's pretty standard. There's places that do higher. There's places that do lower. Some places are going to be listening to this as a server and go, holy fuck, we only tip out 1.5%. Well, guess what? You work in a dive bar probably, and that's going to happen, right? Mom and pop joints are different, but if you work anywhere with any kind of corporate tie at all, there's going to be a specific tip out that's worked out, and it's whatever it is. So just for the sake of this argument, we're going to use the standard that I know the Canadian Brewhouse uses it, and there's a bunch of other chains that use this formula. So 4% of total sales, pre-tax, mind you, 4% of total sales go to the bar, or to the house, which is cooks, hostesses, managers, bussers, dishwashers, the whole fucking shit, right?
Yeah.
So there's your back of house tip out, there's your front of house tip out, which is to the bar. Right? So booze and cocktails and beers and all that kind of crap that gets poured. So you eat $100 worth of food, comes to $100. You tip your server nothing. They still owe $6 out of their pocket for the pleasure of having served you.
Yep.
Now, you can still choose not to tip if that's what you want. 100%. What I would recommend, if you are one of those people who doesn't tip, when you go to the restaurant, ask what the tip out is and tip at least that. So the server doesn't get a tip from you, but they also don't owe the house
out of pocket
for you.
Yeah. They paid to serve you, basically.
Yes. People don't get that. Just because you didn't tip the server doesn't mean that they don't get... They don't have to pay.
No, I 100% agree with you. That's one of the biggest things about people that are not in the service industry is that they don't understand that. I understand that there are people out there that choose not to tip. My suggestion to them is don't go out to a restaurant maybe. That's the industry. That's how people make a living. That's why people do it, because they try to give you great service. It's different if the service was shit. Like, if it was awful and you had that's up to you. Like, I fully support, like, I'm not going to say you have to tip out a bare minimum just because that, you know, even that the person was an asshole. Like, I don't believe in that. Like, if you had an awful time and it was shit, then fucking you do what you want to do.
I was at, like, I'm going to use Boston Pizza because I've never had good service there, but I had absolutely atrocious service one time to the point where I asked the manager, I was like, what's the tip out here? And it worked out to, of my total, it was like 4.5% there of my total everything. And I tipped 4.5%. Because that server was, I was like, because I'm a server, I don't want her to pay out of pocket for, like, because I'm not a total douchebag, knowing how it works. But,
Then don't be a fucking douchebag server either.
Yeah, but, like, I don't want people to pay out of pocket, but I wanted to send a message. I was like, this is what your tip out is, and this is what I'm tipping you. You get nothing from me. Like, it's one of those things where, like, getting tipped a quarter on $100 is worse than getting tipped nothing.
1,000%.
Right?
Yes.
And people who aren't in this industry won't understand that at all, but it's like, well, isn't the quarter better than nothing? Well, no, because it's a giant it's fuck you is what it is. Exactly. It's like, why don't you keep that quarter? You need it more than me.
Yep. Exactly. I've actually had a table where it was four adults, and they were kind of like, they weren't horrible, but they weren't super responsive, like, to anything. So it was, you know, everything was great. Gave them my regular service, tried to be as friendly, like I always am, like, with tables. And, you know, they paid, and then they, this guy was waiting for his wife, and they had all paid. And then they said, oh, we just left the tip on the table. I'm like, oh, great. You know, thank you. And I grabbed my tray, cause I, you know, it wasn't super busy. So we don't have bussers there. So we bus our own tables as well. So I went over with my tray and started doing that. And I saw all of the pennies, which for all you young kids out there, don't fucking exist anymore. But pennies and nickels and some dimes.
Listen, like, anything
not
less
a big
than,
pile. Like
anything
a little,
less than a quarter, I don't fucking use. When
well, this is here's the thing. So this is what I did. The man standing there waiting for his wife to get out of the washroom, I made sure that he saw me. I scraped it onto my tray, walked over to the trash can that's over by the door, and dumped it in there, and went back and proceeded to take all of the cups and everything and then go back into the kitchen. I didn't say anything. I didn't give him a dirty look. I just scooped it on there, tossed it in the trash, because I'm not using that. I know it kind of sounds like an asshole thing to do, because I was actually kind of really, it just is so insulting to even outwardly say we left your tip on the table, and then it's like 35 cents. Like, it basically says that we thought that you were either shitty or we think this is really funny. And to me, it was just such a slap in the face that it pissed me off enough that I made sure to scoop it onto my tray and throw it in the trash and then proceed on with my evening and proceeded to say have a great evening to them as they left.
Killing people with kindness is the best. When
they're
like,
sometimes it is.
When you can tell, like, they were intending to be a total douche. And you're just like, thanks, guys. And they're just like, that's not the reaction we wanted. You're like, yeah, bye. And they walk out the door and you're like, ha, fuckers. Anyway, whatever.
Right? Or I always told the girls, you know, come back to the waitress station. That's your decompress. So if you have a table that's really pissing you off, come back here, take a couple of deep breaths, vent to someone if they're there, if we're not that busy, and be like, holy fuck, table blah, blah, blah is just whatever. And there were some of those tables, you'd see them come in and you're like, I've served them before, I know what they're like, it's just the same routine, right? You just roll with it, because they're here to they pay, not that they, you know, they keep coming back. So I guess that's the biggest part, but you just have to kind of, you have to keep your attitude in check sometimes, but you also can't let them see you get upset a lot of the time. You kind of just got to keep some of that to yourself. I have a hard time doing that. That was my biggest one. I don't hide my feelings very well.
No shit. who said that? Yeah, but I'm the same way though, in that I don't hide the way I feel. I will, when I know they're just absolutely being ridiculous, I give them the actually. I give them that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, well, da 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 da, and you guys did this, this, this. I'm like, well, actually, you asked for blah. We gave you blah. This is how it blah. Really, yeah. I mean, you know, when there's a legitimate issue, it's, I'm very sorry. That should not have happened. Let me go fix it. That was my fault. Or, you know what? Here's what the story is, that the kitchen did this. I said this. They heard this. It's my fault. I didn't follow up. Whatever.
Yeah.
You give your table, like, the explanation. But when you know that it's something that is the table's expectation problem and not...
Yeah.
Like, okay, the other day I had a lady, she was, what soups do you have? I was like, well, the feature soup of the day is, and I don't know what the feature soup was, but we always have a lobster bisque and the French onion soup. And I pointed at the menu where they are. I'm like, so there's the French onion soup here. This is the lobster bisque. And we have our feature soup, which today is blah, 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 blah. She orders the lobster bisque, which comes in a bowl with a little bit of Parmesan cheese sprinkled on top. It says right on the fucking menu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lobster bisque with Parmesan cheese, whatever. So then she gets the soup, and I go back to check on her, and she's like, you guys should really warn people that there's cheese in this. And I'm like, well, it's a bisque, first of all, so like it's a cream-based soup. So...
aside from that.
Yeah, but it says Parmesan on the menu. She's like, yeah, but it doesn't say cheese. I'm like, what do you think Parmesan is? Like, what do you think Parm is? And like,
I love that.
I think she was thinking, like, you know when you get Parmesan cheese at home and it's like powdered because it's grated so fine?
The craft not fresh stuff. Parmesan.
Yeah, like the like
and in you the just, green container, the
yeah,
shaker.
Yeah, and you like turn the top of it and it opens like salt. You pour it like salt on your spaghetti. Yeah.
You love know? That.
Yeah, me too. Love it. It's still fucking cheese. I'm sorry. Mm. It's just, that's, but yeah. So it says Parmesan on the menu. And she was getting mad at me because I'm like, it says on the menu that Parmesan is in it, mm-hmm. but it doesn't say the word cheese. And so she's like, you should tell people that there's cheese in this. I'm like, yeah, but that's what Parmesan is.
You know what? I will take that into consideration. Next time I will make sure that they know it's not Parmesan lemon. It's Parmesan cheese. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But I mean, there's on our menu, we have a mistake where we have a via tetrazzini, right? Which is, it is a tetrazzini is a pasta dish, okay? But a lot of people won't know that. And in our description of the dish, it says all of the different ingredients or whatever, and it never mentions actual pasta.
Okay.
So the question I get most about that dish is that a pasta dish? And I'm like, yes, it is. It's a pasta dish. It doesn't say pasta, but that's what tetrazzini is, right? I get that. That I'm cool with it. I will, until we fix the menu, that's on us. Because tetrazzini is not like a common knowledge that's
pasta dish.
No, I wouldn't
have known that.
Right?
I definitely wouldn't have done
that. Which
is
fine. I'm okay with answering that question over and over and over and over and over again. Because we should fucking fix our menu. I get that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Parmesan... That's common fucking knowledge.
That's one that you probably shouldn't have
cheese.
To explain.
It's like, it says there's cheddar on there, but it doesn't say cheese. What is this? Well, it's cheddar, which is cheese. It's like, if you say Monterey Jack on your menu, you shouldn't have to fucking say cheese. It's Monterey Jack. You know what that is?
Could be some guy in the back. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's Jack?
Yeah, oh, well, it's this fellow. He come from Monterey. He's from the bay. Monterey Bay. Like, they're in an aquarium. And he's got fish. It's fish. Monterey Jack is fish.
It's definitely fish.
From Monterey Bay.
Yeah.
Jack delivered it to us. Now, you're like Monterey Jack is fucking common knowledge. And so when you see Parmesan, it should be fucking like that's cheese. You just get that it's cheese.
Yeah, we get it. It's cheese. Got it. Gouda. Gouda? Okay. I'll go home.
All right, we're done now. Okay.
It's been nice doing this with you. See you later.
Yeah, fuck all of this.
Yeah, fuck this shit. Oh, man. Well, you know what? One of the big things that I took from, like, the service industry, I think, that really helped me just in regular life was taking ownership of your fuck-ups. Because you're going to have them.
Yes.
You're going to do them.
Listen.
You're going
to. How many times do I go to a table? I'm like, they're like, oh, this is wrong. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm going to fix this for you. I will find out if I fucked up or if it was the kitchen's fault. I will let you know. And I'll go back and be like, yeah, I rang that in real wrong. That was on me. They read it and they did what it said on the chit. And what it said on the chit was not what you asked for. So that was me. I did that. That was
And that's
me.
A big thing because I think a lot of people really appreciate that too, right? And even not even in that industry, even the industry I'm in now, like if I fuck something up, I'm like, oh yeah, I've totally royally fucked that shit up. That is not what you asked me for.
Yeah. Because you get those those kitchen people who are like, well, the kitchen tip out is just basically a fee for throwing us under the bus to every guest you say we fucked up on.
It's God. That's one of the biggest things. That was always such a controversy. It's like, bro, I always admitted when I fucked shit up, but I also told you when you fucked my shit up. If I go in there and my chit says no mushrooms, don't put fucking mushrooms in it.
Right. And so, but I'll go back to the table and I'll be like, hey, the kitchen, they read the chit. They missed this line. I'm really sorry. Whatever. Yep. Wilfred, we're going to fix it. This is how we're going to fix it. Whatever the policy is at the specific restaurant you work at the time.
Yeah.
So.
No, totally.
Yeah. But when it's my fault, I am going to say, yeah, I rang that in wrong. I typed this. Yeah. I meant this. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm really sorry. That was an accident. We're going to fix it. Here's the thing. Either way, the guests should get it fixed and you should be apologetic. Whether it comes from a, listen, we messed up, like the kitchen did a mistake, so we messed up, that's on us. Or I personally totally royally screwed that one up.
Right? Yeah, no, totally. And that's one of the biggest things, though. I think you really, in any aspect of your life, you should take ownership of your fuck ups. Like, don't try and blame someone else or make an excuse for it. Just fucking own that shit and move on. Like, be like, oh yeah, I fucked up. So I don't know, I can't even tell you how many times in the beginning that I would forget to bring in a fucking appetizer because I would take the appetizer and not like, cause it would be instances where you're busy. It's okay. We want to start with this. And then here are our meals. So instead of ringing in the appetizer, hitting send, and then ring in the meals and kind of hold them for a couple of minutes, kind of, you know, you gauge that. Right. But I would do, sometimes I would get too busy and I would just bring in their meals and then I'd come out and then they had their food and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, cause, and also like, you're not always the one running the food. So
exactly,
you know, you got a crazy, like I'll have 12 because I get bigger sections than a lot of people because of how much I can handle. But, you know, so somebody will run food for me to a table.
Yeah.
And so I'll go over, let me check how's everything tasting? I'm like, well, actually, they forgot, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my God, that should have come out like that. Because, you know, in your mind, that happens on expo, not behind the line. So once the food goes up in the window, you have to prep the table or prep the plate with a steak knife for the sandwich and that, whatever.
This side comes with this.
Or if you ring in, like it comes with gravy, you have to pour the gravy, put it on the plate.
Yeah.
So that some of that stuff happens on the server side. But if you're not the one running it, that's not always you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, listen, I'm really sorry. I didn't run this food out. I'll grab that for you right now, unless you don't want it, and I'll take it off your bill. And they'll give you the answer right away, and off you go. But yeah, it's, how many times has that fucking happened to you?
Oh my God. Well, like that, I mean, that's one of the biggest things that happened is that not only like, cause sometimes, yeah, you know, sometimes like the kitchen also, like I could never work in a kitchen. I would never be able to do it. And I commend them because I have a lot of friends that did and they're awesome and I love them. But there's also those times where they get busy and they fuck up too. And they know that. And like this, it's the same ownership. If you fuck it up, then you know, that's not my fault that it got fucked up. Right. But sometimes they do take it out.
Sorry,
on you.
I will remake that for you.
Yeah. But I mean, you know what? It goes a little bit both ways. You got to have thick skin too. Cause one thing I did learn is that I needed to have thick skin when it came to dealing with the kitchen as well, because it's some people are different to deal with than others. So, you know,
I'm going to yell at my cat. Yeah,
I can hear Lex. my two are over in the corner growling at each other right now. So there's that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so like, yeah, there's kitchen fuck ups, whatever. We have to have like kind of thick skin because there'd be a lot of times where the girls didn't want to go back and say that their stuff was wrong. They're like, oh, they fucked that up. And I'm like, okay, well tell them like, that's not what's on the shit here.
Yeah.
Like, but they'd be afraid to do so.
There are some kitchens where you go in there and you're like, hey, this is wrong. And they're like, well, it was your fucking fault. When they didn't even look and they're like, oh, like later they're like, yeah, I fucked that up. I'm sorry. But like in the moment, they're like, they won't own a mistake in the moment. And that's,
yeah.
It's really hard to work with those people, front of house or back of house.
Right. But you know what? I don't know. For me, it would be, we have, like, especially if it's a really stressful night for everybody, we're all fucking doing our best. And, you know, we try and do what we can. And at the end of the night, we all just have a drink together and fucking get it out of our system. And we just move on. Because
fucking right. All right.
That's just what you have to do, because there's days you're like, yeah, I'm really sorry that I don't know. One of the biggest things was running food. Like, it was some days it was like, I felt like I was the only one fucking doing it. I felt like I was back at that kitchen 18 times.
But there are also some days where, like, because there are days where, like, I'm the only one running food. But there's other days where I'm like, I feel like I haven't run anything today.
Exactly. There are days.
So it balances. Like two Saturdays ago, I was running all the food. The Saturday before that, I don't know if I ran more than a dozen things out all night. Because I had so many tables and I was getting constantly sat.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, the biggest thing too is that what I always did, because there were those days that I had that I was not, I knew that I wasn't doing my part, because I just, same thing, had so many tables that I just, they was like they were almost all demanding all at the same time, and I didn't just have the capacity to leave and go do those things. But I would also always tell the girls, thank you so much for running my shit. Like, I know that I was slammed. I feel like I didn't pick up my slack tonight. Thank you so much for running my food. I really appreciate it. And that Absolutely. Goes a long fucking way.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it's like so much so that I'm like, listen, I'm buying you a fucking beer afterward. You were a hero to me today.
Anyway, exactly.
We're over an hour. Let's put a pin in this. We could literally just keep going.
Let's wrap this shit up.
Yeah. We can take it
to go. Get the fuck out.
Put it in a takeout container.
Leave us a nice tip and we'll see yous later.
Yeah. So we will see you next week for an actual episode of Parenting Podcast. Today was a bonus episode called The Only Dirty Table. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you did, all of these episodes will be available for all of our paid Patreon members. So go become a paid member.
Yeah. Come listen to us rant about other shit other than kids. That's right? A whole other thing at The Only Dirty Table. Fucking kids.
Yeah. We haven't even touched kids at the as a server dealing with kids. I've gotten a lot better with it because now I work, like I said, in fine dining. It's a different dynamic now.
Yeah.
But we're coming from the bar industry. Like, why is your kid here? What is happening? Yeah. Like, this is not where
anyway, guys, I would not bring my child to this enjoyed. Place, but
yeah. I already have a mustache.
You already have one. I don't. I do now. Yeah, there you anyway, go. Fuck. I gotta go to bed. God damn it.
So, thank you. Thank you so much for popping in and listening to us rant about this thing. We will see you next week for an actual episode of Parenting Podcast. Obviously this week Katie is in New Brunswick. We couldn't record, so we pre-recorded this for you. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Yay. The magic of technology.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Put it on
anything. Oh man.
Hey, you're an a-hole. You're welcome. Sorry, that's how
that's
I talk.
A whole other thing.
That's how I talk to my tables. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, all the podcast
things,
like the audio podcast places, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play Music, Google Podcasts.
Yeah. Stuff and things. Go check us out, and we will see you next week for episode number 9 of the Parenting Podcast.
Bye.
Bye.